coming to you from the Night Dreams Talk Radio Network newsroom, I'm Guy Ticker with The Strange News. Whatever caused the sudden deaths of dozens of cattle in northwest Colorado late last year remains elusive, according to officials who ended their investigation into the matter last month. The unexplained incidents received widespread media attention, giving rise to speculations involving everything from wolf depredation and soil-based pathogens to stirring but unfounded claims that a mysterious creature who left no tracks was responsible for the killings. I'm Guy Ticker. The Strange News is brought to you by Night Dreams Talk Radio Network. Do you have a strange story? Contact us at nightdreamstalkradio.com. At aaronjudkins.com, there is a question. Who are the guardians of Göbekli? Göbekli Tepe, one of the most puzzling archaeological sites of the Stone Age. It is considered the oldest pre-pottery Neolithic site ever discovered. This mysterious site is changing our perception of the Neolithic, a time period just after the Younger Dryas event. Is there a connection to the heavens and the gods? Do its symbols represent the earliest known language? It's the paradigm that's changing the paradigm. Who are these guardians of Göbekli? Get the new book and find out. Guardians of Göbekli at www.aaronjudkins.com. You are listening to Night Dreams Talk Radio Network, the home of Night Dreams Talk Radio with Gary Anderson, syndicated worldwide. Paranormal Talk Radio. Like you remember.
Well, it's St. Patrick's Day, and if I see corned beef again anytime soon, I'm going to run away to Nova Scotia. Well, we're coming to you live from beautiful Gig Harbor in Washington State. I'm the host, Gary, and JC is with you, and he's from, well, Dover, Ohio. And yes. How's things in Dover?
Actually, it wasn't too bad today. It's a little chilly tonight. But one of these days, Gary, spring is going to be here and it won't snow 2 days later.
Well, what's wrong with that? You got a mix of weather from day to day. Well, you know, it's National Corned Beef Cabbage Day.
I can't imagine why.
Did you have any tonight?
No. No, I'm not Irish. Nothing against it. Just I like corned beef, but not that much.
Well, it's also National Beer Day.
Yeah, it goes with everything else. It all kind of coincides.
Yeah, it goes great with corned beef and cabbage. Well, you know the U.S. Navy once fired at a balloon, which it turned out not to be a balloon. It turned out to be Venus.
I read something about that, and I'm surprised they even admit that.
Well, it's in the news, and, you know, hey, how many years ago that was? That was in the 40s.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, especially if it was wartime, everybody was paranoid, especially with, you know, the Battle of L.A. and all that.
Yeah, the Battle of L.A. never happened. Could one day dark energy create another Big Bang?
Well, it would be something if it did it in our lifetime. That might be very life-shattering, so to speak.
Well, you know, I put a poll up there, and a lot of people have been responding. We had Stephen Greer on the other night. We were talking about disclosure. We were talking about, well, a lot of things like false flag. If we're getting set up for a false flag, he actually feels we are. And, you know, it seems really weird. Even again today, there's another talk about from the Pentagon. Well, there could be a mothership out there. It's like every day there's something strange in the news about UFOs or UAPs. I don't like the word UAP or whatever it stands for, because, you know, they're trying to take the impact away from UFO, like UAP. Well, the UFO, hey, you know, what can I say? By changing it really doesn't change the feeling and just what is going on.
Yeah, and you know, all these things are in the news. I call them little seeds. They're planting little seeds leading up to something, as Dr. Greer would say, a false flag. But you're right. UAP, no matter how you church it up, a UFO is a UFO, Gary.
Well, they found another statue on Easter Island.
Uh-oh.
And this time they're digging it up from a lake bed.
Oh, I didn't see that one. Now, that would be great, because you know a lot of people don't realize those things have bodies that are buried in the ground.
I know. Well, another nuclear power plant leaks 400,000 gallons of radioactive water.
Oh, my. Where was this at, did it say?
I haven't got that far yet, but it's in the news. And again, like I said, the Pentagon makes a wild claim about alien mothership.
Yes. Again, what's it leading up to? There's always some kind of tidbit going on in the news about something.
Well, you know, Dr. Greer says we're getting set up. And you think about this. Ever since this balloon thing, I mean, it's been every day in the news media. You know, the congressmen are talking about it. Remember that one congressman, or was it a senator? I can't remember. He said, I'm going to lock my doors tonight. I recommend you do that. That was when they were having a conference, you know, between themselves about what's going on with UAPs.
Oh, yeah. Hey, listen, there's nothing like causing a riot amongst your people by, you know, a head figure saying something like that.
Well, that's the scary part. I really think we're being lied to so much. And again, if you really think about it, something is going on. We got so much going on right now, you know, with Ukraine, you know, Korea, you know, Middle East, Africa. It's all these hot spots going on. And, you know, they're trying to get, I think, the attention off of those. And what better way than to get the attention on UFOs and UAPs? But, you know, at TikTok, everybody's into TikTok, right? But that goes back to 2005. Why is that now in the last 2 years been a main thing? It was to set us up for a false flag. I guarantee we're going to have a false flag here in the near future.
Listen, it's all these seeds are planting. If you look at all the things that's going on that around the world and in the news, it's leading right up to it. You're so correct. And Dr. Greer really, I think, nailed it.
Yeah, that's the scary part.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And you know, again, like that head, the center or whatever said, hey, lock your doors, like that would keep an alien out anyway.
We need to take a quick break, and then we're going to be back with our guest, and we're going to be talking about, well, strange things on the moon. Think about it. You know, Dr. Greer said on our Skunk Works, we have UFOs. So like he said, half of the UFO reports are maybe our own. The other half could be off world. But think about this. We could have a secret base. A secret base on the other side of the moon. So we'll be right back. So stay tuned.
Take a journey of adventure and discovery for the enigmatic giants of the forests. Read On the Trail of Bigfoot by Mike Dupler. The author himself describes it this way.
Having found possible Sasquatch evidence, namely trees driven into the ground upside down, thought to be territory markers, led me to investigate this creature in my native Ohio. Several years and many forays into Bigfoot territory, I have found incredible evidence, which inspired my book, On the Trail of Bigfoot. Bigfoot is alive and has many fantastic abilities. The evidence is out there for all to see, but you need to know what to look for. My book will inspire those who have answered the call to seek this elusive creature, the Bigfoot. The truth is out there.
Read On the Trail of Bigfoot by Mike Dupler. Available now at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and IndieBound.org.
Hi, this is Val Von Torn of Metatron Power and Light. You're listening to Gary Anderson and Night Dreams Talk Radio.
Well, JC, you want to tell the listeners who our guest is?
Well, our guest tonight is Glenn Steckling. Now, Glenn is the director and copyright holder of the 60-year-old George Adamski Foundation. Now, Glenn is also an author and a researcher who specializes in, well, possible alien structures on the moon and Mars.
Very interesting. How are you doing, Glenn?
Very good. I'm happy to be with you this evening and interact with your listeners.
Well, have you been staying out of trouble?
Well, we've had a bit of rain out here in California, but yeah, otherwise than that, doing a lot of research, working on finishing up my new book, so definitely keeping busy.
Well, you know, again, you know, I don't know if you caught the show. We had Dr. Greer on here the other night, and he feels we're getting set up for a false flag, but we were talking about half of the UFO, if not more, of the sightings might not be off-world. They could actually be from our own skunk works. What's your feeling on that?
I believe that's absolutely true. I think about 70% is our own constructions. I mean, we have two varied industries that are working in this field. We have the traditional one, the aerospace industry, that would exemplify the Skunk Works, the SR-71, the U-2, the B-21, and the Black Star. And they're working on the traditional methods of aerodynamics. And then we have an entirely different side that has been working on using... first, they tried atomic power, but that didn't work too well. And they also had a lot of negative fallback on their pilots, having radiation sickness and leukemia. And then they started to reverse engineer some of the electrostatic technology they recovered from the various landings and crashes around the world. I mean, Roswell is only one in many that have happened all around the world. But we actually got better technology from the landings that happened in White Sand, where several of these crafts touched down, and the occupants inside were dead due to the radiation from the explosion because they had their windows. Their windows are like the iris of an old camera, and, you know, that's kind of butterfly shut. And when it butterflies shut, it's impregnable. But when it's open, then it becomes heavy-duty polymer type of glass that is susceptible to incidences as well. And in this case, they were too close to the atomic experiment, cracked the glass, flooded the cabin, killed the occupants, and the craft soft-landed into the desert sand, and then our military went out there and retrieved them intact. So there's a number of things that are ours. There's a lot of misidentification, atmospheric-wise, whether they're standard lenticular clouds that hang over a mountain during a high turbulent time. You see that a lot along the Rockies. Then you've got bolt lightning that goes horizontal. I've seen that over the Amazon jungle. And, you know, there's one thing there isn't. There isn't swamp gas, as old Dr. Hynek wished there were. And and there isn't temperature inversions that cause ships to fly around the nation's capital and speed away and stay out of the range of the fighter jets, the F-86s, and the shooting stars, Lockheeds, that were scrambled in July of 52 over the nation's capital. So I would say that there are about 10%, 10-12% of actual craft sightings. And in fact, I recently conversed with some of my former airline pilot buddies. I'm retired from the airlines as a pilot, and he called me up and he said, and this was not reported one word on the news. This happened in February, and they were five different airliners from five different companies, and all their crews watched a number of these ships fly in formation, then stop, and then rotate clockwise, stop, rotate counterclockwise, starburst in different directions, and then come back and shoot into space. So it lasted for about 20 minutes. And they were talking to each other on what we call the air-to-air frequency, a common frequency. And they were also talking to aircraft traffic control, who was cognizant of it. And not a word was said. So this fantasy of disclosure is just that, an illusion. This is the same type of propaganda, the same type of program that we've had since the 1950s and the 1960s. It has not changed. They just vary the format a little bit here and there, but they realize that over generations, people forget and they don't relate to what happened previously. And that is truly a shame. And if you look at Project Blue Book and you look at the Condon Report and Ruppelt's report, the report on unidentified flying objects, and also Hynek's mission after he turned and said that he was wrong about these things not being real, there was a good 20% of these ships or these sightings that could not be explained by any earthly terrestrial means. And when you're looking at numbers of 11,000 or more for NICAP, but the same for the Condon Report and what have you, I mean, you're starting to look at numbers that are quite substantial.
Well, you know, here's what's going on, Glenn, which is really gotten weird. And now this has been going on ever since the balloons. You know, and I think the government misled us about those balloons at the start, because it didn't take long. Then, you know, the news media was calling them UFOs instead of balloons. And the government didn't step in and correct it, because I think they were trying to confuse the population. But now there's stuff coming out from different people in the Pentagon that which are making wild claims about alien motherships above Earth. And all this stuff has been going on for the last couple of weeks. And it's getting kind of bizarre. We talked about that with Dr. Greer, too. And he feels that maybe this is getting very close to setting us up to a false flag. Because I think they're trying to set the population up to maybe kind of be aware that something could be going on, and then a false flag could happen. And, you know, and the whole thing is the government has its deep state to it, going back to Eisenhower.
Well, it goes much further back than that. But the multi-level situation with the UFO, and now they call them UAPs because the academics love acronyms and they love to confuse things and relabel things so that they can get some credit for something or attach their name to it. But the bottom line, everybody recognizes the word UFO. Now, in its definition, it's unidentified flying object. It does not mean flying saucer or extraterrestrial spacecraft. So we've kind of merged the two in a false set of ways. So we've set ourselves up for some disappointment on that issue. But the idea is that they are trying to keep the information about an intelligent life coming from space to visit us, and literally the records are for thousands of years. There is not an ancient civilization that you cannot look into their records and find references to extraterrestrial beings, people who have come from the sky to help their civilizations and give them knowledge, and then leave. They never took anybody. They never abducted anybody. This is a phenomena of recent UFO community propaganda, and it's designed to scare everyone into a further state of insecurity and disbelief, and so people will not be, likely to want to interact. So basically, these saucers came, they contacted our government, the government said, we're not going to release the information. They almost were ready to do it. Truman had 120 million leaflets printed, and they were going to let it out, and General Hoyt Vandenberg, the Air Force Chief of Staff, kiboshed that along with other entities like the CIA and what have you. So what happened is these crafts decided then to land amongst the people all over the world, Norway, South Africa, Brazil, the United States. They flew for hours over the Vatican for 3 days in November of 1953 and were photographed hundreds of times. And so the reality is absolute. Anyone, and I've watched some of these shall we say, PR people, whether they are for NASA or for anybody else, that go about to skeptically say that there's no evidence of these type of crafts. I mean, there are films and pictures. My father took his film and was invited to Colonel Freeman in the Pentagon in 1966, and Freeman said that the best he had ever seen in civilian hands. And also before 22 scientists at NASA Goddard Space Flight Center, we were there as well for a conference and talk about this subject. So within the official circles of the people who are not the fly-by-nights, then there is a much different attitude and a much greater knowledge and reality than what drifts down to the rest of us. So, you know, we should be responsible enough to take a look and see what's going on, and not confuse things for drones and aircrafts and stealth designs. Anything that's triangular, anything that has long landing legs or pods, anything that has protrusions like fins and things like that, that is all our design, because it is not possible to use successfully electrostatic or electromagnetic energy if you have these type of structures along the hull. They tear the hull and compromise the hull right away.
Well, Glenn,
you're talking of speeds of twice the speed of light.
Well, you know, Glenn, I really think we do have re-engineered UFOs. I'm talking about the saucers. And again, Dr. Greer, is so, positive that is going on also. And I think, we do have the capability to go off world. And I'm just wondering, because you're going to be showing pictures about the moon and stuff, the strangeness of the moon. Do you think that could be from our own technology too, going
absolutely.
To the moon?
Yes, absolutely. We have the ability to go back and forth to the moon with this technology. We are not capable of interplanetary or interstellar travel. That is still many thousands of years ahead of our understanding and capabilities. But the moon, absolutely. And there has been talk for a long time that we have a super secret space program that originally was initiated out of the islands in the Indian Ocean of Diego Garcia, and that we were putting material and personnel on the moon into developing our own bases. And our own astronauts, who were all highly commissioned officers, were not told. And when they got to the moon, not only did they find that there were extraterrestrial activity, but there was also activity from our own planet, organizations on our own world. And that is what truly discouraged them to such a degree, because they were not told and not informed, and all of this is kept under wraps. And that's a good reason why we didn't go back to the moon after Apollo 17, and that is because we did not want more seeing eyes and more cameras to possibly expose already what had it been exposed so much. And when you look at the books like Somebody Else is on the Moon by George Leonard, that first came out, I believe, in 79. And his pictures aren't quite as clear because he did not have access, like we had access to the microfiche and microfilms at NASA. So then our book came out, We Discovered Alien Bases on the Moon, in 1981. And this has over 100 photographs, NASA photographs, in it, all with their catalog number. And they come in catalogs that look like so, the pictures. And then you can see there's a couple pictures there from Apollo 12 where you can see the haze that is the atmosphere that's around the moon. And they have now decided to admit that there's a partial atmosphere on the moon, which means that there are pressure gradients and there is the movement of air like anywhere else would be along the lunar surface. And this is around 2.5 pounds per square inch. And so this, that causes the moon dust to move behind and flutter behind, along with the gravity, the increased gravity behind the lunar rover. This means that the increased gravity is about 65% of Earth, and that's why astronaut Young, with his full pack and his total weight of 360 pounds, would have been only 80 pounds under 1/6 gravity, and he couldn't jump more than a foot and a half using all his strength with a full pack on the moon. He should have been able to jump meters and high and forward and any direction. And so when you look at the calculations like we have in the book, you can see by using their own calculations that the lunar gravity is about 64% that of Earth. And that is because the distance, the L1 distance between the Earth and Moon, is not at 22,000 miles like it would be if you use Newtonian mathematics of 1/6, but it's really at 44,000 miles. And since gravity is multiplied exponentially, that gives you 64% gravity on the Moon. And that's on the front side. And the front side is susceptible to the elongation effect of the Earth. We know from lunar tides here on Earth how much the Moon can affect the circumstances on our planet as far as tides and what have you. And so you can imagine with the size of the Earth and its gravitational pull, it has a much greater effect on the Moon, almost like an egg pulling it towards the L1 area. So we now look at the fact that we're using textbooks and information that's 50 years old. They tell you the Moon's a dead planet, or at least they tell that to our children so that the dogma continues to reverberate without any questions. So they tell you that. At the same time, they admit that they had volcanic activity, earthquake activity, and the Moon has a magnetic field, which means that it has to have somewhat of an iron core. And that core has to be in motion, just like it is here on this planet, to produce good gravity.
Well, Glenn, you mean it isn't hollow?
Of course not.
Well, that's what we've kind of been led on, isn't it? That it's hollow?
Nobody that I know that's serious has ever talked about the hollow Moon. We've talked about the fact that the two moons of Mars are hollow and artificial satellites, but not our Moon. That is way too large.
Well, a lot of people on there have talked about it, you know, saying that, you know, when they crashed one of the, you know, back onto the Moon, it rang like a bell, and then some scientists speculated it could be hollow. But here's the thing, I think we're being misled constantly. You know, you mentioned about these aircraft and these UFOs or UAPs. I'm still going to call them UFOs. I'm sorry, I'm old school, and you know, I agree with Dr. Greer on that. UAP, you can call it any new name you want. Hey, it's a whitewash. But you know, again, maybe that was an off-world craft. Maybe our government or another government from this planet is doing it to confuse people, to get them more, you know, concerned. Hey, maybe we might be invaded one of these days by one of these, you know, out there off-worlds.
Yeah, that's true. Two statements here. The Earth also rings. Every time a nuclear explosion has exploded underground, the Earth vibrates like a bell, like a tuning fork. And this has been recorded by the Japanese. Also, they recorded the fact that with every nuclear explosion, the rotation of the planet shifts and slows down. So we are, you know, we exploded 815 of them underground, just us, and then, you know, 300 in the atmosphere. And then not to talk about the French and the Russians and whomever else is all playing these ridiculous
games. How about
games.
The North Koreans? They're doing
it. Well, of course, they're playing power politics, and we could take care of that in a heartbeat, but we just don't want to. So you always have to look behind things. Why is it that we allow something like this to happen when we have the easy capabilities of putting the kibosh on it? So that means that we are allowing disturbances in the world on purpose. And that is because we are running our economies now, not all so much on petroleum-based like it used to be, but we're running our economies on the production of military hardware and weapons. And you got to use them, or you got to have a threat in order to keep that production going and keep our economies and stock markets going. So there are other other factors involved with all of that.
Well, I'm going to jump in here, just change the subject for a little bit. In the news, China is not buying, you know, our treasury bills like they were. They have cut way back buying them. And now the Secretary Treasurer of the United States is getting worried that could cause a major financial crash for this country if China stops buying it.
Well, we've gone to bed with the devil, and that's the whole problem with it. I mean, I don't think that there is much doubt that the COVID situation didn't come from bats any more than AIDS came from monkeys. And the fact that the laboratory, I don't know if they did it purposely, but somehow this material got out and it affected the economies, the commercial and capitalistic economies of the Western world to the tune of trillions and trillions of dollars. I mean, what a wonderful weapon. Then, of course, there are 7 million people that have been reported to be the victims of this. I mean, the last time I recall numbers of that sort was World War II, and we persecuted those people for war crimes. And yet we do nothing with the Chinese because we're in bed with them, and we have sold all our industries for cheap labor in the commercialized market because we know that there's 1.5 billion consumers, and so if we can produce something that they want at a fraction of the cost, then, of course, you get the shareholders and the stockholders are all happy, and everybody continues the process. The problem is that we're all culpable. We like to point the finger at the government, and we like to point the finger at the military, and, of course, they do have a role to play in this. But we are as culpable as they are because we have no problem with this system as long as we benefit from it. And that's somehow you had to draw the line. Like the old saying is, you can't serve two masters at the same time. And so...
But it's getting scary because I will say this, and let's get back to the moon. 3/4 of the mortgages on people that go to their bank mortgage company, I was talking to one of the vice presidents of my mortgage company, and they said, quote, and they're one of the larger servicers. They're owned by, you know, the Chinese. That's scary.
Well, I mean, I got a my fiance, she's in Canada, and they have found out that the Canadians have allowed the Chinese police, military, or secret service, or whatever you want to call it, their version of the CIA, to police Chinese people in Canada. And they follow them around, and they bus them to voting terminals so that they can change the geographics of the different districts. I mean, we let all of this stuff happen because look at this new budget that they're proposing, $6.8 trillion. I mean, that's more than double what the normal budget used to be on top of a $31 trillion deficit. I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to know that if you got 10 pennies in your checking account, you can't spend 100 because it doesn't exist.
Well,
but
I got to ask you,
have an attitude that says just print some more.
How old are you, Glenn?
64.
Well, I'm 71. When I was a kid, do you remember you could go in and get a milkshake for like 20 cents? You get a hamburger for 20-some cents?
You bet.
Okay, and, you know, my kids don't understand. My son got a new job, and he's getting paid $22 an hour. He's rapping and raving, and I said, do you realize when I was your age, I bought a house for $15,000? My parents in 1952 bought their house for $5,000. You can make 20, 30 bucks an hour, but inflation has gone so far bizarre that the more you make, the deeper we're getting in the hole. That's what's happening.
Well, because that's called financial slavery. Everybody is so busy screaming about racism and slavery and a history of a world. Well, I got news for you. The entire world has a history of slavery. The African nations, whether the Bantus and the Sulus or whoever, They raided each other, and still to this day do, and enslave each other. Then the Arabs, the Marmadukes, came and enslaved them. The Egyptians came and enslaved them. The Romans enslaved a lot of people throughout Europe. I mean, this is not correct and it's not right, but from the standpoint of history, every civilization has conducted slavery. This is how they built their wealth and built their countries and their civilizations, on labor that didn't have to be paid for. And so, you know, it's a situation which has some very dire consequences. And I keep talking to people about this, along with this, all these other subjects. And I think that since most of these people have no recognition or no cognition of what it was like in 29 when everything collapsed, and that, you know, we just have this attitude, well, just print some more. And the Chinese aren't going to take money. They've already told everybody that they want to switch from the dollar, world conversion from the dollar to the yen, and make that the primary currency. And they know that the more money we print, the less value it has, and therefore the less ability we have to pay off the debt that we owe them. I mean, this is a country. Why is it that we can't make our own pharmaceuticals? Why is it we can't make our own automobiles? Why is it that we can't sustain our own country like we used to do?
Greed. Do you realize this? If you, again, because I have to take about 13 medications to stay alive right now. Do you realize, I was talking to my pharmacist, and I know him real well, said, quote unquote, even antibiotics, all kinds of stuff are in short supply because, well, they're made in China, and they're purposely holding back sending the quantities needed. So, I mean, that's another thing, to take over control. It does not, you know, send the medicines. I mean, we're not prepared in this country to produce high blood pressure medicine, heart medicine, you know, medicine for diabetes, all kinds of stuff. We couldn't crank it up fast enough to get it out. That's what's scary. And we're being blackmailed, and people don't realize it. There, I tell people right now, and my pharmacist said, have 90 days worth of supply of medication, because you never know from month to month when you go to get it refilled, you might not be able to get it refilled in the near future.
But remember, we used to live in a society in the Kennedy years and before that, and for a few years thereafter until Nixon's little fiascos. Everybody would buy stock, right? Let's say, and everybody wanted blue chip, IBM, Coca-Cola, blah, blah, blah. And they were all happy with single-digit returns. If you got 7% on your money, boy, they were people where you're fewer, you know, just wildly happy. But now, and in recent times, that isn't enough for Wall Street. They want 20%. They want 30. Let me get bitcoins and make 300%. I mean, you would think that anybody with a reasonable functioning brain would think, how in the world are you going to sustain a return of that on such a little investment? You had to steal it from somebody. So the problem is that while they are abusing us, we have given them full authority and permission to do so, and we refuse to take it back. Look at this current administration. They're so deep in bed with that, with China, that I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, it's people want to live in fantasy land, and they don't want to have to face the realities of things.
I'm really scared. I got to ask you a question. What is your honest feeling? I put a poll up today on my Facebook page for the show. I got to ask you a question. What do you think of a near future in the next year or less of a false flag? And what would you think a false flag would pertain?
Well, first of all, we have been trying for a long time, and I'm assuming you're referring to a false flag, meaning a false revelation of this UFO material in order to militarize the entire planet. I think that we will never willfully divulge the fact that there is intelligent life, not only in our solar system, but in other solar systems, whether it's Tau Ceti or Wolf 359 or Alpha Centauri, that have come over a period of time and visited us and our civilizations for beneficial reasons. That's why this abduction fiasco has been reverberated so much, and that is because to scare the living daylights out of people, so they are totally unwilling, they are totally scared of anything that comes from the sky. And the media in the movie industry, Mr. Spielberg and so many others, have used full advantage of this in order to make billions and scare psychologically the living daylights out of people. I think that the only way that they will ever be any kind of general admission will be if we can constitute them as a global threat or planetary threat, because that way all of the industries that are working around for instability on this planet can pivot and then push themselves and use this focus into space. Star Wars was really one of the original ideas of this. With Teller, they wanted the fact, of course, whoever it was in space or, in fact, on the moon, if they had bases and equipment there, they could be authoritative to the whole global situation here on this planet, to every country there. But also, more importantly, that some of this equipment can be pointed the other direction out into space to try to inhibit these crafts from coming to this planet. And so this type of mentality has been for quite a while reverberating through the whole political system, the whole geophysical system on this planet. And unfortunately, I would say 95% of the UFO community willfully participates in this misinformation and exploitation market-wise and profit-wise to gain their further egocentric needs.
Well, I will tell you, there are some people who have written 30 books on UFOs. You know, UFOs coming from the ocean in California to, you know, wherever. And they just keep cranking this garbage out. And people keep buying it. The thing is, we do have a situation where there is off-world and on-world craft out here. And like, I was mentioning those aircraft that you talked about. My gut feeling, and I didn't see it, you know, and I didn't know about it, but how do we know that wasn't ours to kind of get the feeling out again to the news media or to pilots out there that there are ETs out there?
Well, we have seen them as the aviation community. I'm not going to say that every pilot has seen them. I have flown. I'm now retired after 35 years of flying airplanes, at least. And I've seen these crafts over the Brazilian jungle. And I've seen them over the North Atlantic and over the Pacific region in conjunction to having seen them already starting as a young child. Associating and working with George Adamski, my parents being his personal co-workers and inheritors of the foundation and materials. And so I know the difference when I'm looking at them. And I also know, too, that we are not that technically advanced. And so in my personal view, the increase of these sightings is a opportunity to try to get our attention. I think that we are spending very little time on what is truly going on. We are going through solar systemic and sun changes that can be very detrimental. Basically, we know scientifically that our solar system is in a degrading stage and its decline. We also know that we have substantially impacted our planet negatively. And so that, too, is a reason why these ships have been seen coming and going out of the water. They have gone down into the deep trenches that are there around Puerto Rico and the Marianas Trench and the Micronesian Islands, because they're going as deep as they can to the base of the mantles and tectonic plates in order to register and record what is happening in the core of the planet, because if we throw off the natural balance of centrifugal and centrifugal forces, our planet will fly apart like a pie thrown into a hurricane. And so they are looking very closely scientifically at what's going on, because it affects them too. If one planet is destroyed in the solar systemic orbits, all of them will be destroyed. It's like a clock. They're interconnected. You can't yank one out without the rest of them collapsing as well. And so they're actively investigating the planets in this system to see who is the furthest along, who is moving about in a greater fashion. We have an 11,000-year solar cycle and a 26,000-year geophysical cycle here on this planet, and great changes have occurred over those periods of times, where we've had cataclysmic flooding and tidal waves and changes in civilization, and some areas totally left and abandoned and deserted, and mass migrations in order for survival. So there are things that we do not tell the public, simply because we don't want to scare the living daylights out of them. And the public, to tell you the truth, really doesn't want to know, because they are kind of disconnected from things.
Well, let's face it, they don't want the public to know also, because just think what would happen if they actually told the public some things that could be very scary. We could have civil unrest. We could have to have martial law. A lot of things. I remember what happened in L.A. Watts.
Oh, yeah.
The rioting. And it didn't take very long before it just kind of like spread. And that would be, could you imagine if they came out and they said, hey, you know, that the Earth is, you know, like right now they're talking about the Earth core has stopped or is stopping. Now, I've talked to some scientists in the last couple of weeks. They don't know what could happen. It could be Earth ending for us.
That's true, and I think that these reports, first of all, of the core stopping are premature, because if the core would stop, the planet would disintegrate.
Yeah, I don't think it stopped, no. And I don't think it's going to rotate. They say then it changes and rotates the opposite direction. It again, the Earth's magnetic field would be affected. What would happen if we lost our magnetic field?
Well, you can't lose the magnetic field as long as you have the iron core and you have the rotation. What happens is the magnetic poles change, and we know this from core samples, that at times the North Pole was located in the middle of France, and that the Antarctic was clear of ice and was a open and prosperous continent. Over the many millennium, the situation on the planet has changed and will continue to change, and the best thing to do, of course, is to be educated about it. Why is it that we build a city on a major earthquake fault, and then we put a nuclear power plant right on there too, so that when it all shakes and goes to heck, then we have the combination of the natural destruction and the radioactivity on top of it? Because we do what we want. We don't care the consequences, and we think, oh well, it's like Vegas. We play the odds. And sometimes the dice go the wrong direction. But let's go quickly back to the moon here.
Yeah, let's do that.
Let's take a look at this. And let me give you an example how information is recycled and then put away for another time. If you look here on October 16th, 1971, it shows that John Freeman, indicated Dr. Freeman, who was an Apollo specialist, that both Apollo 12 and 14 left instrumentation, and also the astronauts witnessed moon geysers that lasted 7 to 14 hours, water spraying out of the surface of the moon. And so that's in 71. So then we go all the way to 2006, and then we say, NASA finds significant water on the moon. So we wait 35 years to reprocess the same information they knew before and then tell you again. Then they go after that and say, tons of ice, water ice found on the moon North Pole. However, with the new Artemis program to go to the moon, all the projected landing sites are equatorial, nowhere near the poles where the ice would be and where there would be the greatest chances to find biological life. And here is even the best one. Boy, I love this one here. They said the scientists discovered 200 Goldilocks zones. And it says here that the bottom of these craters have an average temperature of San Francisco. So basically, the temperature is 63 degrees Fahrenheit all the time, 24/7. So now, when you talk about, like we have been talking about for so many decades with our books and with our lectures and talks, that when you have atmosphere, you have clouds and mists. When you look at the version of the 1966 release from NASA, the chronological observation listing of the moon, you will find in there reports of mist, clouds, a water vapor, moving vehicles, moving lights. And this is over a period of 100 years. And if you look then at the article from the Royal Astronomical Society, it says 40 members of England's Royal Society reported seeing various geometric-shaped light patterns, a moving 50-mile-wide opaque object, great white domes, and long bridge-like structures. And that already was before the turn of the century. And we have reported them since. In fact, look at this beautiful picture from Mount Wilson Observatory in the 1930s. That's Gassendi Crater, the greater one. There's two of them, a greater and a minor. Look at the tubular constructions that run across the crater, make 90-degree turns, go through the crater walls and out the other side. I mean, there is no way that that is a natural formation. That is pure construction. And we have reported constructions on the moon where there are lunar bases, there are mining, there's mining going on. Some of the pictures in the book shows material being shovel mined out of one crater and being thrown into the next crater, very much like you would see down here in the southwest if you fly over that area and you see some of these terraced mines, mining activities that are going on. Here's a picture from the backside of the moon. I don't call it the dark side because most people don't realize that the backside of the moon is light 2 weeks out of the month, and then it's dark 2 weeks out of the month. So we have a lot of I wouldn't call it misinformation. We have a lot of ignorance going on because we have apathy. But look how this object lights up that whole area of the moon down there.
Yeah, now we can see it.
Now you can see it. Hundreds of square miles lit up when it otherwise was dark at that point. Here's a Lunar Orbiter 4 picture, and this shows a crater with a cigar-shaped object parked next to it. And you can see that on the picture, someone has examined that picture and put varying measurements on there to determine how big this object was. We were able to observe objects on the moon that were up to 20 miles long. That literally went from crater edge to crater edge. Here's a beautiful picture from Apollo of the astronauts. It's pretty famous now. We're the ones who dug it out in the beginning, of the elliptical device hanging over the astronauts' head. And if you recall the statements of some of the astronauts, Aldrin now is speaking a little bit more. I think he's reaching the end of his tenure here soon. But they were all followed by craft, extraterrestrial craft. Marie Chatelain, who was the 11 patent holder for the Apollo Communications and Telemetry System, wrote in his book, Our Ancestors Came from Outer Space. Excellent book. I mean, this man is no slouch and he is no crank or strange or in any way. He lists every single mission of NASA, starting from Mercury, Gemini, Apollo, and every single one was escorted, and every single one the astronauts saw extraterrestrial craft. And in some occasion, it was even piped music into our spacecraft, and they could listen to that. And they followed them to the moon, and they followed them landing there on the moon. And so they all knew what was going on. And some of them have talked. Gordon Cooper, of course, everybody familiar with. He's talked quite a bit. His sightings already started when he was aircraft commander over Europe in the 50s during the Marshall Plan.
Hey, Glenn, we're out of time. How can they find your website? How can they find your books?
AdamskiFoundation.com, one word. They can find our book on ABE.com, which is a Canadian company. Amazon has them. I have them on eBay as well. I've got a whole lot of information here on Mars, too. The face on Mars being absolutely what it is, the plains of Cydonia and of human construction there. So I would love to do another program where we can just talk about Mars sometime and keep the dialogue going.
But the month of May, every night of the we're on of the month of May, we're going to be talking about UFOs. We're going to be talking about things on Mars. We're going to talk about everything to do with ETs, UFOs, and maybe the secret space force. So I will have JC get a hold of you and get you on for in May. How's that?
Perfect. I'll be more than happy to do that again.
Okay, Glenn. Well, you have a good one. And again, check out his website, check out his books. And Glenn, you have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too.
Uh-huh. Well, next week we got some great guests. What are we going to be talking about and who's our guest?
Well, let's just see here. We have Mr. Brent Raines coming on. Now, he's going to be talking about, he's a, kind of an expert on the John Keel and UFO situation. He's been researching that since the 60s, Gary. So he's going to be a really great guest, and that was on Wednesday. And then on Thursday, the time-traveling lawyer, Andrew Bashago, is making a return visit to our show. He's going to be talking about some of these different ETs that have come here, some he's encountered, and the four main ones.
That's going to be a great show, you know that.
Yeah. And then topping off on Friday, Nick Vellante is making another appearance, talking about different scary cryptids and dogman encounters all across the country.
And how about that Sunday?
That Sunday, we're going to have Tom Palladino on, talking about he's a scalar light expert and how he uses that into healing people.
So we got some good shows lined up, don't we?
We do. I tell you, Nick Vellante is always exciting with the cryptids. And of course, Andrew, I mean, he's time traveled.
Oh yeah, he sure has gone back in time to Abraham Lincoln Civil War and also being, well, on Mars. So that's going to be rather interesting shows next week. Well, everybody, you know, next week we're going to be on our normal time to 8:30. This week I had to cut it because of medical conditions. I had to cut a half an hour off the show each night, and I apologize, but I am getting slowly better. So we will catch you next Wednesday, everybody. Again, check out our website at www.nightdreamstalkradio.com. Subscribe to YouTube if you haven't, and give us a thumbs up and ring that bell for you know when we come on. And naturally on Facebook, you can join our group. We have two. We got the Sunday Show group page, and we have, well, our weeknight show. And I'd love to have you on there because we'd love to have you as a night dreamer. Well, we catch you on the other side. Everybody have a good one and stay out of trouble.
I'm losing my mind for the sake of love. I've been trying to reveal it, what I've been so afraid of. Your coldness makes my heart